and a very, very important heart-to-heart talk with you from the scriptures about Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10. I've been talking about, can we lose our salvation? Now I want to explain something that many Christians have not understood. In fact, it's frightened many hearts when they read it. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to wait till you all come on, because I want to make sure everyone is with me right now before I begin. And please share this with your friends. Let them know how important today's time is with you. Because, to be honest with you, this is a matter that has troubled me when I was younger. Hebrews 6, I'm going to just read one verse. Verse 4, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Verse 5 and 6, now listen. Have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. This has troubled so many people. And then when you read Hebrews 10:26, that too. So I want to explain that to you and bring peace to your heart about it. I have struggled with this portion, oh dear Lord, many years. I've read every commentary you can imagine about it, because I wanted to understand, what does it mean? I mean, none of us want to lose our salvation. None of us want to ever come to that place where we cannot repent because we've gone too far in our sin. So there's an answer that's going to absolutely bless you and take all the fear out of you. Now, we're going to wait till you all come on, okay? So, I want to say hello to Messi and Lily, Jessica, Sarah. So many of you are coming on. Thank you for that. But I want to also minister the word now. So I don't want to spend too much time on my hellos like I usually do. So let's pray, because I have a lot to talk about today. Wonderful Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray today by your Holy Spirit, you will give everyone listening and watching a clear understanding of this most important truth in your word. We give you the praise, the glory, and the majesty. Wonderful Jesus. Amen. I had to look to the Holy Spirit to help me understand this. Now, let's begin reading, and I do have the answer. Let's begin reading. I'm going to begin reading again, Hebrews 6, beginning at verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Let's keep reading, because the answer is really here already. We just need to find it. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burnt. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. So even though we're talking like that, Paul said this, and I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, I could be wrong, but though it is written, God is really saying, I'm not going to forget your faith. your walk, even though God is speaking like this to us through Paul the Apostle, and it could have been maybe someone else like Apollos who wrote this book. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, let's go just quickly to verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, there's a secret in this verse. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Jews. Number one, we have to understand who is he talking to? He's talking to the Hebrews, to Jewish people. That is a big headline to help us understand why he said what he said. Let's understand something about the times they lived in. And I'm going to take you to Hebrews 10 and prove my point in a minute. These Jewish believers, once they accepted Jesus as Messiah, lost everything. They were outcasts. Not only were they considered a cult by the Roman Empire, but they were cut off from their own people. In the beginning of the faith, when right after the day of Pentecost, the believers, the early believers, were considered to be Jews and protected by the Roman authorities, because Rome recognized Judaism as a religion. So there was no persecution against any Jew by the Roman authorities. Now, a Jewish person, once he got saved, for a while nothing went wrong. Later, the Jewish authorities, now I'm giving you pure history, the Jewish authorities cut off the believers and said, we do not consider them as Jews. We reject them from being Jews. Now, as a result, they were thrown out of the synagogue, cast out of the temple. They were not allowed to come into the temple to worship. So in the early days of the church, you know, Peter, James, John, even Paul went to the temple. Like all other Jews, they were not cut off. They were not thrown out. Now, everything changes. What happens? The authorities, the Jewish authorities, high priests and others said, no, we do not consider these people as Jews. Therefore, they cannot be protected by Roman authorities or law. They became a cult. The minute they were declared a cult, their families cut them out. The second they were declared a cult, no one would give them food even to help them from their own families or friends. Think about the hardship they began to experience now. They lost permission to even go to a synagogue or the temple. Now they're cut out of their homes and families. They're cut out of society. They're looked upon by the Roman authorities as a cult. Now open for persecution, even death. Many of them wanted to go back to Judaism. That's why the book of Hebrews was written. Now, when you read this and then you look at verse 12, be not slothful, but followers of them. Who's the them? The other Jews, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, he talked about later how God made promise to Abraham. But there's a key here. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit, not inherited, who are still inheriting and will inherit the promises. Meaning, there are other Jews who are not going to give up on the Lord. That's why the whole book was written, and that's why the writer said, Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than the angels. We have a better covenant. Why would he say these words? He was speaking to people who wanted to go back into Judaism. And that's what it means when you read verse 4. Let's look at it again. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened by faith, have tasted the heavenly gift, salvation, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, meaning apostasy, forsaking the faith altogether, not sinning or falling short, like we say, because we have it very clearly in the Word of God, all manner of sin will be forgiven. All we have to do is repent. The only sin to which there is no forgiveness is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, or when someone forsakes the faith altogether, Jew or Gentile. If they walk away from the faith, there is no more place for repentance. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, this is going to help you a lot, because I don't want you living in condemnation if you think, oh, dear Lord, I've sinned willfully, I'm in trouble. Okay. Let's look at verse 26. And this is the one that people get really shaken up about. For if we sin willfully, I'm reading Hebrews 10:26. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So sinning willfully in their case was rejecting the gospel completely, apostasy, saying, no, I don't want to live as a believer in Jesus. I want to go back to Judaism. Remember, the whole book was written to Jews who were under incredible pressure. You have to read the whole book to really get these portions. Anyone who just takes this portion out from Hebrews 6, Hebrews 7, can really have fear and troubles. Oh my Lord, I've sinned willfully. And they lose it. No. Look at the whole book. You have to look at the whole book. It took me years before I realized that. When I got saved, I was scared to death to read this. Because who has not sinned willfully? What is sinning willfully? Well, first of all, I don't believe that a true believer will plan sinning. But like David, he saw Bathsheba, and sin arose in him to want to sleep with her. That is sinning willfully. But he did not plan it. When he woke up that morning, he didn't plan it the day before. So that's why I said yesterday on the program from 1 John that we cannot sin, meaning, because, and you saw in 1 John 1, 1 John 3, what in 1 John 1 it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, that the truth is not in us. Yet we read later where the same John wrote in the same epistle that we cannot sin because the seed of God's word remains in us. All right. What is he talking about? He's talking about you cannot plan sinning. A Christian cannot plan. I'm going to do this today. I'm going to do this tomorrow. So when David woke up that morning, he surely didn't plan on sleeping with Bathsheba. But when he looked, he was tempted. His weakness took over. Well, that's willful sinning. When he says, oh, you know, I'm going to take her as my wife, or I'm going to sleep with her. Then I'm going to kill her husband later, so I'm going to hide my sin because she was pregnant. And he brought Uriah home so he can sleep with his wife and it would look like it's his baby and not David's baby when the baby comes along, you know. And Uriah didn't go home. And so he said, well, you know, since he's not doing what I want to cover the sin, so let them think it's his baby and not my baby, let's kill him. Well, that's all willful sinning. But he was already tempted. His weakness had taken over. He didn't plan on doing it. And sometimes someone can continue in that for a long time. In David's case, 9 months. Think about it, for 9 months he was blinded that he had really done anything wrong. So when the prophet Nathan came and said, "You're the man," it was already time for the baby to be born. And the child was born, remember, and died. So this kind of explains a little bit, maybe, I hope, to all of you, including Chad listening here. But let's look again at the scriptures. If we sin willfully, I'm reading verse 26. All right, let's go back. Let's go back a little bit, even a little bit back. Let's go to verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Who is he talking to? People who were thinking about going back to Judaism. Otherwise, he wouldn't use these words. Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Consider one another, provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Because they wanted to leave the church. Why would he write these words? As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. He's talking to people who wanted to forsake the church. Yeah, this applies to all. Of course it does. But you have to see the whole book. You can't just take one chapter and say, "Oh, he must be talking to me or someone else." No, he's talking to the Jewish people who were under tremendous stress and pressure and persecution, who were thinking, "No, I don't want to live as a Christian or as a believer because I lost everything. I'm going to go back home to my family so I can get food to eat." Literally, they didn't even have food to eat. Because they were thrown out as people that were totally rejected by their nation and their families. And listen, in those days, as it is in many cases today in many parts of the world, if someone becomes a Christian, he's cut off by his family, that no one is allowed to even give him food to eat. Or they target that person. I showed Chad a few days ago. He actually saw the little video of this one man in the Arab world who got saved. He was cut off. He became homeless because he got saved. I said, "This is what happens to our brothers and sisters in some parts of the world, where no one would even give him food to eat." So think about the incredible pressure over these sweet believers that they were under, who couldn't even find a piece of bread to eat. So the whole epistle was written to say, wait a minute, don't forsake the faith. We have it a lot better. Now, let's look at this. Now he's warning them, don't sin willfully, don't walk away from the faith after that you've received the knowledge of the truth. Now, if you walk away from the faith after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifices for sins. Because, let me keep reading, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And then he brings Moses in. He said, he that despised Moses' law, who is he talking to? Who knows the law of Moses but the Jews themselves? He that despised the law of Moses. He could not have been talking to a Gentile who doesn't know the law of Moses. Died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment suppose ye shall he be worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite under the Spirit of grace. Someone who said, "I don't believe anymore in Jesus. I don't believe anymore in the blood of Jesus. I want to go back to being a Jew so I can get food to eat and be accepted in my home and society." For we know him that hath said, "Vengeance belongs unto me. I will recompense as the Lord. Again, the Lord shall judge his people." it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now let's keep reading, because it even gets better and clearer. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you saw the gospel, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock by your family and others, both by reproaches, afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me, meaning himself, Paul the Apostle. Again, could have been Apollos or someone else. In my bonds. And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Now watch this. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. But then he says this in verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, not by the law, not by going back to the ordinances of the law. He's talking to Jewish people. The just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure. So this is talking about apostasy then. And what he was saying to them is, God will take care of you. If your family's cast you out, don't worry about it. God will make sure you're taken care of. Even food and clothing and shelter you'll have. But don't walk away from the faith. Don't give up on the Lord. When you read the book of Hebrews from now on, keep all that in mind, that he's writing to people who were thinking about walking away. That's why he starts by saying how God in diverse times and sundry times and diverse manners spoke by the prophets in the old covenant, now speaks through his son, and then he begins building their faith by saying, Jesus is better than angels. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the law. And he begins to show them the better covenant that we all have. So they would not walk away. Why do you think he would give them the whole list of the giants of faith in Hebrews 11? All of them were Jews. To say, look at this. They didn't give up. And then in Hebrews 12, we have a cloud of witnesses. Don't give up. The whole message, the whole book was saying, don't walk away. Don't give up. Listen again. Let me show it to you. Let me prove it to you. Seeing also, I'm reading Hebrews 12, 1. All these witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and sin. Verse 3, consider him that endured. You have not yet resisted to blood. And then everything he's saying for one reason. Okay, you're in trouble. Yes, you're in persecution. But Jesus is better than all that. Hallelujah. Now that should give you a lot of peace that this is talking about apostasy. Rather than someone who says, oh, you know, I'm weak and I can't say no to sin, so I'm going to go do it. Well, look, all have sinned. All come short of the glory of God. The flesh can take over very quickly if people stop reading the Word of God and stop talking to the Lord. I'm going to give you the secret of staying holy. Well, you will never have to worry about it anyways. If you'll just do two things. I'm going to take you to the Psalms. Psalm 119 verse 1 and 2. It's all there. In these two verses is the foundation of survival for every Christian. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimony. Here's the secret. Who seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity, and they will walk in his ways. Two things is all that is required of us. One, to seek him with all our heart, and then to receive his word. So let's go back and read it one more time. In fact, let me put it in plain order, because the word comes before seeking the Lord, because he said so in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who, number 1, walk in the law of the Lord. So the first thing you need to really have in your heart is the word of God. Who walk in the word of God, who walk in the law of the Lord. Number 2, that seek him with the whole heart. The result is they will do no iniquity and they'll walk in his ways. So simple. So if I have the word in me, as verse 1 says, if I seek the Lord with all my heart, I will not sin. I will do no iniquity. In verse 3, they will do no iniquity. So verse 1 and verse 2 give me the secrets, give me the what I need to do to live. And verse 3 gives me the promise. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Father, I come. And Lord, we come into agreement together. Come on, stretch your hands towards me. I'm stretching my heart, my hands, and my faith towards you right now. Lord, that they will walk in your law. They will seek you with the whole heart. And Lord, as your word says, they will do no iniquity and they will walk in your ways, all your ways. Protect them. Keep them as the apple of the eye. Let them live holy. Establish them in your word and in your truth. Cause them to be loyal unto the end. Give them a love so mighty, a love so great. Lord, fill them with the fires of your love. And Lord, let those fires of love in them burn the world out of them. In Jesus' holy name. And burn every sin out of them. In Jesus' holy name. And let them walk in righteousness, in faith and holiness for your glory. Amen and amen. I hope you learned something today. I hope now you feel better about Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10. Okay. Get to know the Word of God. What a blessing. What a great blessing. Again, I want to believe God with you for financial blessings. And this week I have been believing God with you for property, because this will secure your future. That God will give you a home, or pay off your home or condo. Give you land, because that's his promise. He'll give you land, he'll give you homes with persecution. Anyone who's given up anything, and think about what have you given up? Well, we've walked away from a lot for Jesus, and we're glad. Boy, I'm glad. But he promised to give us back 100-fold in this life. Now, Lord, bless them, prosper them. Lord, I pray you'll give them faith. Give them faith to receive property. Give them faith to receive land. Give them great faith and bless them financially to be able to do it in these last days and to secure their tomorrow and their children's tomorrow. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, I even add their grandchildren too in there. In Jesus' name. We give you the praise. Amen. Now, it's time to give, because when you give, you're telling the Lord, Lord, you can trust me with property. You can trust me with a home. You can trust me with money that I will pay off my home. So right there, the information is on the screen for you. You can give it online or on the platform you're watching me on, or on the network you are watching us on. Simply BennyHinnMinistries.org, or you can just push what it says, donate or give. Or simply text your seed to the Lord. If we've been the ministry blessing your life, and feeding your life, then the tithe belongs to where you are fed, because that's the word of God. Blessings. Have a blessed day, a blessed weekend, and I'll see you Monday for another glorious week, all next week. Bye-bye.